to the ones that hate. If you wanna go far, be strong, have faith, be patient, never rush fate. Uh-huh. I'm so real, I can never be fake. Never. It's my job, I can never be late. I'll keep writing and writing until I get a break. And if I get a number one, that'll be great.
All that cheers. I need is time.
Yeah, all I need is time.
Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 91, and my name is Joshua Lute.
This is Penny Lamb.
And we'd like to thank everyone for joining us as we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general love for all things cinema. There's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to view the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. You know, Penny, I've been doing this for so long, and I still get tongue-tied. And remember to review. Remember to review.
Why don't we ever just record this one bit so that you never need to ever say it again?
No, I can easily do that, but that takes the fun out, the spontaneity out of it.
There is no spontaneity. You're saying the exact same thing. The only thing that you say different is episode 90, blah.
Well, as you can see, as you can hear, Penny Lamb...
We should do robot, like episode blank.
Penny Lamb has joined me. Greg is still feeling a bit sick. So, you know, we wanted to keep the show moving. So Penny has graciously joined me. And I feel like there's been a lot of movies going on right now. And I feel like, you know, we're in the swing of summer. I know we're right before, like, Spider-Man and Batman and stuff like that. But it's been a pretty mediocre few weeks, and we haven't really seen much.
Mediocre.
Right? I mean, like Dark Shadows this week was That's My Boy, Rock of Ages. I just feel like there
hasn't
been
Avengers.
No, I know that.
Prometheus.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but with those, there's also weeks where there's literally nothing that comes out.
You can't expect everything to be a winner.
I don't know. It's the summertime.
I don't.
But Penny, how have you been? What's new?
I'm very busy. Is that what I say every week?
I don't know, but is that...
But I am very busy.
The end?
At work. And I just told you that I yelled at two people at work today.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you.
So, that's my thing.
And that's what I always say. People must wonder how we're together, because I'm so calm and
relaxed. No, I don't know. I just need a punching bag.
Maybe you do.
I do some push-ups.
Well, as always, we're going to go into movie talk back. I don't really necessarily have any film news, per se, to talk about, except for... Congenially, Ray Bradbury has passed away, sadly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Daddy.
A lot of his stories, you know, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, were inspired by some movies. But, you know, one of the preeminent sci-fi writers, one of the writers that shaped me as a young adult into reading, has passed away. But, you know, so that is...
Yeah, I also think the one big news is, I think it's 126 days before Twilight Saga 2. Yeah.
Really? That's coming out? I haven't even seen commercials for it.
Being a jerk about it, but it is somewhat accurate because someone on Facebook actually posted it, and I wish I didn't know.
Let's get into a few movie reviews. Now, as I mentioned on the last episode, the New York Asian Film Festival is starting at the end of June. Now, this is one of the best film festivals in New York, as it highlights and shows the best films from all over Asia and from all genres, from, you know, cult classics to art house to blockbusters. And because of this, I wanted to review the films I had already seen, or at least can talk about, that are being shown at the film festival, to give our listeners a heads up on which are the ones they should watch and which are the ones they should avoid. But I don't think I'll really be talking any about any movies that they'll be avoiding. But the one movie that Penny and I actually got a chance to see that's showing at the New York Asian Film Festival is a Taiwanese film called You Are the Apple of My Eye. Now again, this is a 2011 Taiwanese romantic drama, instructed and written by Giddens Ko, of whose life this film is based on. And it's the story of a group of high school friends during the 90s who all fall for the same girl and their lives throughout adulthood. Now I must admit, I am not a coming-of-age story kind of guy, Penny.
You are a liar.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You're a liar.
All right. I always find them cliched and a tad trite. However, when they do work, Stand By Me or Rushmore and American Pie, they are magic. What, you don't like American Pie? That doesn't belong up there? American Pie is awesome.
Such three oddly picked coming of age movies that. Anyway, yes, go on.
Well, this film, You Are the Apple of My Eye, while not up to those standards, is still incredibly well made, well acted, and well written film. It's a bit long, but there's none of a moment that, for me, feels forced, and it genuinely feels like young love. I love the fact that the film takes these friends through adulthood and sees how their lives have progressed. Now, Taiwan has recently turned into the mecca for Asian filmmaking, even over South Korea these days, and I think it's because they have taken cliched stories and made them feel honest and real. Now, this movie won't blow your mind, but it will leave you with a good feeling inside, which is what any viewer of these kinds of movies could want. So, a remembrance of their kind of salad days, those youthful summer days. You know, Penny?
Salad days?
Yeah, it's a Japanese terminology.
I was about to say, I don't think American audiences know what the hell that means.
All right, that's why I said youthful summer days. Give people a heads up. But anyway, I give this it's going to be at the New York Asian Film Festival, so I actually give it a bring your lunch from home, because you do not want to miss this one. For me, it's a great teenage romance movie. So check it out at the New York Asian Film Festival again. Penny, what did you think of You Are the Apple of My Eye? Always want to see Taiwanese films.
Yes. My family's Taiwanese. Your family's Taiwanese. I love to support Taiwan as much as possible. You know, I did like the movie. I thought it was well made. I think it did drag a lot. You know, there's kind of like a first half and the second half of the movie. And after the first half, you really thought you were come around the end, and then you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when it started to really drag. I'm like, how much character building do you need anymore at this point? It's done. So I think that's where I had a little bit of problem with it.
Well, I'm with you, because like you said, it's split up to two halves. The first half is when they're in high school. Second half is when they graduate, and then, you know, into adulthood. And I do think the second half slows down a bit.
It definitely does. I think there were a lot of funny moments. I think people who aren't attuned to maybe Asian culture, maybe a little bit, I wouldn't say confused, but taken aback by certain things. Because in some ways, they're just still so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
holding hands
is like a huge thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think holding hands is actually quite more intimate than a kiss, to be honest, because it does. But the fact of the matter is, a kiss is like, oh my goodness, I don't even think, you know,
well,
that's like, whoa.
Well, this goes to show you the difference.
But
this goes to show you the cultural divide, the cultural difference between, you know, Asian coming of age stories and, say, American, like I said, American Pie. You know, all of that was about
Western. Yeah. I mean, let's not just clump
Western,
American.
Yeah, British
culture.
Are very like that, but more so, I think Western, even more so. But you know, the early British coming of age stories as well. But it's just that, you know, they're more sex based.
Yes.
You know,
very
much
so.
I mean,
so,
this does have sexual kind of like innuendo.
It does. It
scenes.
Definitely does. And
yeah.
But the thing is, the way that's done is more in a comedic way versus a sexual romantic way, which is fine. I just think that it's, you know, if you're not familiar with Asian type of movies or culture, I think that might be just something that maybe an adjustment for yourself. But I liked it. It slowed down for me. I wouldn't go as far as saying it is a bring your lunch from home. I would say it's a rental. If you can rent something like this, I don't even know.
I'm sure it eventually will make
like
it
Netflix
over here.
Or something or other.
I'll give a heads up when this comes out in DVD, but right now it's the only way to see it is at the New York Asian Film Festival. Check it out. All right, so that's our review of You Are the Apple of My Eye. Next on to our another review. Now, this is a movie that's not showing at the film festival. It's a film I've actually really, really wanted to see, playing in cult cinemas everywhere, Alamo Drafthouse kind of film. It's a movie that Penny fell asleep in the last, like, 5-10 minutes, so she didn't even really get to see the ending.
Which one is it?
And it's called FP. Now, this is a 2011...
Oh, yeah, what happened? Oh, man, you gotta tell me.
This is a 2011 independent post-apocalyptic comedy directed by Brandon and Jason Trost, and it's a story of two rival gangs who fight for control of Fraser Park, a deadly arena.
Fraser Park, a.k.a. FP.
Yes, a.k.a.
Get
FP.
It?
A deadly arena in competitive dance fight video game Beat Beat Revolution. Now, for better or worse, this film is about two gangs who battle playing Dance Dance Revolution in a post-apocalyptic world. And it's everything you think of and more. It's both one of the best movies of the year for me and easily one of the worst. what's really good is that it hits on so many fantastic points, playing
is
everything.
Is it the Sandra Bullock of independent film?
No, it is not. But playing everything deadpan in an absurd world, a mix of 8th Mile meets Escape from L.A. meets Road Warrior meets Rocky. When the narrative is on, it's incredibly humorous. Like the fact that people are battling to bring back ducks to a pond. That's why they got to dance. However, since it's a one-note concept, the movie overstays its welcome being 90 minutes. It could easily have been 70, and the narrative gets dragged down and repetitive
sometimes.
And somehow
in 90 minutes, I found myself falling asleep.
Exactly. I mean, this movie is tailor-made for me, Penny. You know that. However,
yes, it is not tailor-made for me.
I still enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It's funny. The cast and actors are all awesome, especially L-Dub. And, you know, he's kind of like the Mike Tyson guy with the grill, the villain of the story. And, it's a bit over the top. But these kind of films need to be. Like Hobo with a Shotgun and Rubber, this one pushes all the B-movie ridiculous buttons any moviegoer will love. And just keep in mind, just keep an open mind and don't expect Citizen Kane, you know, in this
You're
movie.
Not getting Citizen Kane.
No,
you're
and
getting,
you'll be fine.
Yeah, you're getting, like, this awkward, geek, post-apocalyptic type.
Yeah. If you grew up watching 80s movies, there's so many references here to
yeah,
80s
but it,
movies.
Yeah, but then it gets also kind of urban style,
yeah.
Like, hey, like, really using urban slang. And
it's all urban slang. That's all it
and
is.
And it's so weird because yeah. I'm like, these are the whitest white boys and they're talking like this and
yeah.
they're using pagers and beepers and not cell phones. It's just a really weird mix of things. Yeah, it's kind of ghetto. And
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. And then they dance in these big snow boots that look like
space
moon,
shoes.
Space
they're
shoes.
Yeah, the moon
yeah.
boots. Yeah.
So it's just like all sorts of weird. I find myself chuckling a few times because it was just pure ridiculousness. So I found it hilarious, but I mean, clearly it didn't keep my attention because I missed the last 10 minutes and
yes.
Josh won't tell me because obviously he doesn't want to spoil it for others.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess once we pause, I would like to know what the hell happened because, yeah, there was some kind of showdown and
now,
blah, blah, blah.
I'm giving this a DVD rental. Now, Penny, this is
so
not...
I guess this is a, for me...
Yeah, no,
sneak
but
out snooze session?
Really? No, okay.
I mean,
know you fell asleep.
I fell asleep!
But I know this kind of movie is not for you, but would you recommend
late.
This to people?
I would recommend it to a special kind of people.
Yes,
it
I
is
agree.
Not for mainstream. It is not for even people...
It's really low budget.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not even mainstream, and it's just... I don't think that's something that I would just choose to go on my own.
All right.
If you got a geek in your life, there you go.
Oh, you're looking at one right here. And that is our review of FP. Just look at the posters, and you'll get exactly
right.
Know what you're going to get from this movie. With that out of the way, let's move on to our feature main review. We have one for you this week, and it's a little movie, Penny, a very little movie.
Itty bitty one.
Yeah, called Prometheus.
A king has his reign.
Civilizations that were separated by centuries, and yet this same pictogram was discovered in every one of them.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map, an invitation.
From whom?
Please tell me you can read that.
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
Whatever that probe is picking up, it's reading life form.
What do you mean a life form?
Oh, the head.
They're changing.
Changing into what?
It's moving. This thing's moving.
What is that?
There's a ship.
They're leaving.
To go where?
Earth.
We were so wrong.
All right. Now, this is a 2012 sci-fi horror film. It's directed by Ridley Scott of, well, Ridley Scott fame, and co-written by David Lindelof of Lost fame. And let's just say, if you don't like open-ended kind of unanswered questions like Lost, I don't think you're gonna really like this film. And is a sort of prequel to the original Alien series that Ridley Scott first created and worked on. Now Naomi Rapace, how do you think you say her name?
Rapace,
and Logan Marshall Green, who very very looks like your boy Thomas Hardy, stars as
yes he does
Elizabeth Shaw and Charlie Holloway, two archaeologists who find cave drawings from thousands of years ago that they interpret from mankind's creators, who they I guess they call engineers, asking them to find them for answers. Now, after getting funding by a large corporation for the 2-year-long voyage to the fabled planet of our creators, they hop on the ship Prometheus with its crew looking for answers. However, some answers are best left, well, naturally unanswered, and the crew of the Prometheus find out how small humanity really is. You got Michael Fassbender, Guy Pearce in Guy Pearce makeup, Idris Elba and Charlize Theron also star in this futuristic beginning to a supposed new trilogy of prequels. So, you get a prequel to one of the greatest sci-fi film series of all time, or rather, a prequel to the brilliance of the first movie. The second movie,
I was about to say.
Well, the second movie, Aliens, is a work of art, but Aliens 3 and 4 are pure garbage. So now, 30 years later, Ridley Scott has returned to the franchise he helped start to one of the most stunningly beautiful films that's wrapped in a Lindelof mystery. I had real high expectations of this film since I'm such a big Alien fan. So did this film live up to expectations? For me, Penny, even more so. But first, I want to take a step. I want to take a step back and address the brouhaha surrounding the film.
What brouhaha?
There's been a lot said about this film, and it feels like it's one of the most divisive films of the year, as most critics on the blogosphere have stood up blasting this movie big time.
Why?
Most people, critics hate this movie.
Why?
Because of their unanswered questions. To me, I don't feel like they're unanswered questions. To me, I think, I don't understand why, like, you need everything spelled out. Everything
should
be interpreted.
I know, I'm not even understanding what questions were not answered.
Well that would
there
get
were
into
a
spoiler.
Few.
There were definitely
there were a few.
But, I mean, it doesn't really
but
matter.
But there's inferences and,
I don't know. But, I mean, like, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of questions that are unanswered. But I feel like you can piece together your own interpretations of what you think the events
well,
are.
Well, that one big thing I asked you at the end.
Yes, you did. We won't talk about
that here. That is a big one, though.
That is a big question.
That's a big question and a big hole, so I can understand that.
Well, not...
But I... See, the thing is, for me, was that I was expecting the next film to perhaps get into that. So I wasn't so hung up on...
Yes, but, I mean, a lot of people don't like unopened... Like, there should be a quote-unquote ending. This one really doesn't... Not to give anything away,
but this doesn't really
have an ending. For me, I'm fine with that.
I'm
care.
Fine with it, too. But, like, then what? You don't like the Lord of the Rings trilogy because at each one of them, there was no end, people.
But, I mean, there's a lot to nitpick here. Why would you take off your helmets? You know, regardless of, you know, quote-unquote, if you could breathe the air in this case. This guy's the scaredest person, you know, the scientist. He's super scared. Why is he playing with a snake? You know, it's like after he's just like scared of all these dead bodies surrounding him. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. Those are spoilers, even though you haven't seen it. It won't make any sense. But I think the best of sci-fi films work so well because they don't answer the fundamental questions. Was Decker a replicant? You know, etc. And here, what, you know, was the engineer's purpose? Why did they want to birth humanity? And then later on, without spoiling it, why did they take the actions in the film they did? I don't know. But, I mean, that doesn't really matter. Let's just talk about it. So, a lot of ways, this is a prequel. But for me, it feels almost like a reboot. Like, they're going to reboot this franchise. Like, this Naomi Rapace is the new Sigourney Weaver. It hasn't been confirmed. Okay. I don't think I'm right. But for me, I feel like that might be where Scott is heading. Because he definitely wants to do
it. Because
you
know him personally.
Yeah, well, I mean, this takes place, I forgot the exact year, but 20 years before the first movie. So, I'm not exactly sure. But, okay, so going back to the film, there's a lot of religious themes, a lot of religious iconography. But this is a purely science-based movie, almost to the point of atheism. And that's why I really like this film. I mean, it just delves deep into a lot of world-building, a lot of mythology. And it may be superficial in a lot of places, and it may leave a lot of questions unanswered. But for me, it was a perfect kind of, like, this is what I wanted in an Alien film. And for me, it lived up to my expectations. It's a little more action-based, but fantastically well-made. Penny, what did you think of Prometheus? Now, I know you don't have really the history Alien franchise,
so,
right?
So, yeah, it's kind of hard because I don't have that, you know, that love or that history or any of it. So, coming in, I really went in fresh, blank, and I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, now that you kind of brought it up, there were some definitely questions in there, but I don't think it really deterred my enjoyment of the film. That big question at the end was also kind of like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, it just doesn't. So, I would be excited to see if they go into it in the next film, and maybe if it is a reboot, that would be totally awesome, because then, hey, I can start fresh.
Yes, but I mean, like, I agree that there's a lot of plot holes in this movie, and I agree, like,
see,
the narrative could have been a little tighter.
Yeah, but I guess, but, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not deep enough, so I took it for what it was. I mean, there were a couple of questions that were kind of odd, and yes, some decisions that were made, not the smartest in the world for, apparently, possibly the smartest people are traveling in this group,
well,
right?
This is supposed to be the smartest, yeah.
So, right, so, sure, definitely poor decisions on multiple people's part, which is odd.
Well, they don't act smart. That's the problem,
right.
Which a lot of people
right.
are upset about. A
right.
lot of,
if you know. Just randomly selected some people, then fine.
Yeah.
You may have gotten some stupid people in that lot.
Yeah.
But you probably picked the best of the best, and it's funded by a huge bazillion-dollar corporation. You're not really picking schlubs.
Yeah, and these people don't really act like rational scientists normally
right.
would do, and that a lot of people, to them, that's a fault. But what did you think of, to me, Penny, I was blown away by the special effects. I was blown away by the look of this film. To me, it was one of the best-looking films I've ever seen.
I mean, I think it looked great. I don't know if blown away was in my vocabulary. I feel like living in this day and age and watching so many of the films that are out there, it's so hard for me, and maybe I'm just jaded at this point, to say, like, whoa, that is just utterly stunning. I just feel like...
You are jaded, because this film was absolutely stunning.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, if it was totally awful, I would have pointed it out.
Okay.
But, like, Avatar, you see it because it was just so freaking different,
yep.
right?
Yep.
But then after that, it's like, oh yeah, this is beautiful, but you know, so were a lot of things.
All right.
I know it's awful, isn't it?
You just can't be happy.
It's not that. It's just that my standards are that high now.
No, you're spoiled.
I'm spoiled.
That's the thing.
I know.
Spoiled.
And then when you make me watch crappy movies from the 70s and 80s, I'm like, what is this shit? You know, then I'm like, oh, why would you make me watch this?
You're like a little,
You're
like a little kid that's growing up in these days that's used to,
exactly.
accustomed to all that stuff. It's like, why are you making me watch an old film from the
right.
80s?
From
that's so
the
old.
80s.
That's so
ooh,
old.
You're an old man.
Well, I will say that the one thing that really bothered me.
Why would they use clay animation?
Oh my God, don't even go there, Penny. Oh my God, what a classic art form. But the one thing that really bothered me, and I mentioned this to you when we were watching the film, is the soundtrack. For me, it's basically the soundtrack from Star Trek movie. Which is fine, but this isn't Star Trek. And since I'm a big Trekkie, it kept pulling me out of the film as the music became intense and sweeping. And all I could think of while watching the scenes is, this is a song from Wrath of Khan. This is a song from Generations.
But is it really?
It's very,
it just
very,
sounded
very
like
close,
it.
Yes. And
I don't even notice those things. This is a girl who
well, you
obviously
the,
is not geeking out.
Well, you so. Notice the song from the, you know, the song from the trailer, right? That's from the Inception, right? Brom. Brom,
I guess it wasn't quite as Brahmy, but sure.
All right, and also, this is also something we talked about, Penny. There's a lot of ancillary members of this, like, 17-person crew that at certain
yes.
scenes, when fighting breaks out, I kept wondering, who the hell are any of these people?
Why are they dying?
Yeah, so you don't feel bad when, you know, some of them meet their ends. Because
like,
I have no idea.
Right.
And it's only 17 people.
Right.
But, like, I want to say eight of them I had no idea who they were. Maybe 10. Had
yes.
no idea who they
yes.
were.
I can point out 5-6 people.
All right, let's get into the acting right now. Naomi Rapace or Rapace and Logan Marshall Green. I don't think Naomi. I mean, I think she's a bit weak here. There's certain scenes where she has to really play up her acting chops, really play up the kind of cosmic horror of the scenes. There's an amazing, not to go into this, but kind of chest buster scene with her that I was blown
yes.
away by.
I,
that was
I
an
had
a
to
riveting,
cover,
unbelievably
yeah.
riveting scene. But I don't know if she was completely up to task. She was okay. And Logan's character, he's an awful hero who you really want to die. And what's really interesting about his character, there's kind of like a reverse, not a reverse, but he's actually somewhat, not racist, but specious.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't like certain characters. He doesn't like a robot that we're going to talk about a little by played by Michael Fassbender because he's a robot.
Right.
So he's a, actually somebody...
He's
actually
a specious.
Yes.
Is that even a real term?
It's a real term.
That is insane.
But,
okay.
I mean, like, but I don't know if you can consider robots a species, but anyway, I actively rooted against...
He's human, pro-humanist.
And I actively rooted against Logan Marshall Green, but as an acting performance...
I could see.
I think he was good, but he wasn't really given a lot to go with.
Yes, I mean, because he's kind of a... hero,
This is Naomi's story, that's why.
Yes.
Okay, so what did you think of the two?
For me, there are a couple. It didn't shine through. Like, there was... I didn't feel like there was a chemistry between them.
Oh, there's, like, almost no chemistry.
I mean, it's like, okay, they're together, but I didn't believe... I mean, again, this is not a love story. It doesn't have to, you know, be a super believable, but it just... I don't know, it just...
Well, you know what it felt like?
Failed.
It felt like, hey, we're two coworkers confined here. Let's have sex.
Yes.
Rather than, hey, what they're supposed to be, really in love.
Right.
It really didn't, just no chemistry here at all.
Yes. I like that.
All right. So let's talk about, for me, Penny, and I'm sure for you, your boy, Michael Fassbender, with the breakout role, hands down, as the android David, even possibly even better than Rutger Hauer's android in Alien.
I don't know what that means.
Who loves Lawrence of Arabia? Lawrence of Arabia even does his hair, dresses like him. This, I know it's kind of cliched, like the Star Trek line. He was the most human, you know, like when the death of Spock happens. It's
right.
Kind of like the most cliche thing, but Fassbender android is the most human person in this film, and there's just a stunning performance. You buy every second of the scene. Every second on the scene, he's on the screen. He steals the scene. And in a lot of ways, he's the one that has the biggest character arc in the entire movie. I don't want to go into any of it because I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, stunning, stunning performance. What did you think
of
Fassbender?
No, I guess you're right. I mean, he transcended like all the different, like you said, story arcs and whatnot. So yeah, I can absolutely see that. I mean, my God, he's awesome.
He's so good.
He can do whatever he wants. He's also super good looking, so that doesn't hurt either. So you know, he really is just really believable in every character he plays. And in this, he's an android, so it's, you know, it's not like all of a sudden he's robotic, but there's things about him that's like, huh, he's kind of odd, but not so odd.
Yes.
Like, it's forced. It's like, no, he's odd because he's not fully human. But then, like you said, certain things he says are like, oh, well.
Yeah, he's very...
Are we foolish?
Very deep insights. There's certain scenes with him that I know a lot of people bother by. Like, why did he give the drink to Logan Marshall Green? But to me, that's an easy answer. To me,
I didn't think it was an easy answer. Oh. I just thought it was effed up.
I thought it was an easy answer, but I mean, that's what bothers a lot of people. But to me, these are easy answers if you kind of think about it or interpret it however you want. Who cares? I could be wrong, but who cares? Movies are about whatever you interpret it. That's why a lot of filmmakers don't like to say their perception of a movie.
I'm such a simpleton. Like, in comparison, I'm like, oh, he's messed up. That's why he did things.
But David,
it's black and white, good or bad.
Fassbender's android works for Weyland Industries. He's the person that has to wake everybody in their two-long sojourn when they go under hypersleep. But he works under Charlize Theron's character, who she plays on Meredith Vickers. Great, great performance as a sort of villain. But her reveal at the end of who she really is unbelievably laughable and pretty forced. Like, it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you could already see it, but it's just so stupid that they played it. They even played it up that way.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
No,
to
it
be
doesn't.
Honest.
That's why it's stupid. It comes. It just feels really forced.
It doesn't matter.
But she's stunning in this film. So beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, and I think she played a good role because in a way she is kind of a villain in this.
Yes.
And she was very believable and, you know, kind of just like, I'm here because it's business, not because I want to be here. And,
yes.
Hey.
And
I believe you.
Guy Pearce as Peter Whalen, the old one that funds this mission.
Old, my God, you barely 120-year-old
Peter Whalen. And the thing is that what I don't understand is that they never show Guy Pearce as a young man. Only in his old makeup. And the old makeup, the thing that really bothered me is that this film looks stunning. and he looked like Guy Pearce in old makeup.
Yes.
He looked awful.
Yes.
So, like, you have this amazingly stunning film. No, but why not get an old actor? There's no reason to actually get young Guy Pearce.
Yes.
Because you never see him young.
No. So, did you not read the article about Guy Pearce? It's like, you just have to put him in a movie in order to win awards.
Is that it?
Yes.
Whatever movie he's in wins an award?
Yes, it's true.
But I just thought it, like, you have the technology.
Even like the smallest roles, which in some cases is
unbelievably small role, this one, yes.
But some people may, yeah.
It's an important role, but yes, it's a small role.
Exactly. But that's the same thing with The King's Speech.
He's in that?
Yes, he was. Nope. Small role.
All right.
Won all the awards.
Lastly, Idris Elba.
That is the key.
Idris Elba is the pilot, Jeanette. I'm a huge Idris Elba fan, so no complaints for me. You like Idris Elba?
I don't know him, but sure, I liked him a lot.
He's so good. He's in a TV show called Luther, which I think you absolutely love, a cop show.
Okay.
British cop show.
But I always say he was in The Wire, or did I make that
Yes,
up?
And he was also in Ghost Rider, too, Spirits of Vengeance.
I did not watch that.
So, wrapping this up, because the problem with this review is that I don't really want to say a lot because there's just...
Which we already did.
There's so many plot points that can easily be given away, and I think they... And so many interpretations that you can have as your own viewer, so I don't want to put my own interpretations out there to sway people, but...
You
yeah.
swayed me.
But for me, absolutely stunning film. I really wanted to see this film, and it lived up to my expectations, hands down. For me, Bring Your Lunch From Home, because you do not want to miss this one. One of the better sci-fi blockbuster movies in a very, very long time. It'll probably make my top 10 at the end of the year.
Yeah,
Penny,
no, I really liked it a lot. I mean, again, I kind of went in blind, but I really enjoyed myself. I thought it was interesting. I mean, now you make me question a few different things, but, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I thought it was well done.
So, bring your lunch
from home.
Very, very nice. All right. And that is our main review. With that out of the way, let's get into, or rather, not into, onto,
whatever.
At, all right, the end of this week's show.
So, Josh just told me the end of FP, and I'm going to change my review to do not go and see this. It is so dumb.
I disagree.
So dumb.
But, yeah, well, this is a short episode since we don't really have any movies to review. I feel like my movie habits are Penny. Since I've been so busy with work and everything, it's kind of drastically fell short a little. But I'm going to, for my, well, one day off on July 4th weekend, I'm
going to
start watching some movies. But
good for you.
We'd like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of the Cinema Cafe podcast. Now, before we get to which movies we'll be reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with June 22nd. Pixar's new epic is released with their first princess movie in Brave. A historical biography gets remade with action and monsters in Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Oof,
a sci-fi, lo-fi film about the end of the world and finding friends and seeking a friend for the end of the world. The biggest release of the week with Woody Allen's new film, Into Rome with Love. And lastly, a documentary about the abuse that women soldiers face in the U.S. military in Invisible War.
I haven't even heard of
I saw the director talking about this in a Today Show.
And you want to shoot yourself in the face?
It's so sad. I mean, these women are getting abused, raped, and they're the ones that are bad. It's so sad. Our military is
You're an ass.
Me?
You are a man. That's your problem. That's the problem with all you men.
Yeah, it's going to be a really sad film, but I think a very important film that should be watched. Now for the movies released on June 29th. For Penny, the biggest movie release of the year comes out strippers and hot men. The true story of Channing Tatum in
That's
Magic
true.
Mike Season.
There's like drama between that right now. Because strippers from Florida. Strippers in Florida that worked with
Tatum.
Whatever his name is, yes.
So he wasn't
are
that
saying
cool?
that. You know, they stole, didn't even get our input. He stole one of their moves, like stripper moves. I was like, what?
It's a movie, people.
This is awesome.
Another year.
And I don't like crap like that, but this is just like, it's just something you just cannot look away.
Another year, and another Tyler Perry movie in Madea's Witness Protection. Seth MacFarlane's live-action directorial debut. About a man and his imaginary friend in Ted.
Huh.
Man, that's a big movie. You got Marky Mark
in
it, too.
Yeah, and a bear.
Yeah, and a Sundance favorite about childhood magic and wonder in Beasts of the Southern Wild, animated.
Huh.
Another Michelle Williams downer of a drama.
Nice.
About infidelity, of course, and I mean that in a good way, in Take This Waltz. And lastly, the indie film that has been getting a lot of marketing about a man who finds out he has a stepsister in People Like Us. I keep seeing this commercial. I'm like, this is such a small film, independent film. It's crazy. So, Penny, any that you're excited to see?
Most of them, actually. Yeah.
Brave, I know. How great does Brave look? I think it might be the best movie. It looks that great.
And I'll have to bring tissues because, yeah, you know there's going to be.
It's going to be.
There's always tears in Pixar.
Every time I
always.
See Mulan. Also,
that's you.
How great
not me.
And surprisingly, a film that I actually had no interest in, I started seeing the trailers. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter looks pretty good.
Yeah,
it looks action packed.
I thought you were interested in it.
It just, I'm not a. Unlike you, Penny, you're like the biggest. Like,
Abraham
that's
Lincoln
fan?
Yeah. Hells yeah.
I mean, like, I could give or take. I mean, like, I don't care about.
I can give or take, but then you heard Vampire Hunter, then you're like, I'll take.
You keep asking me about this movie, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. I think this movie looks amazing.
I really
want to see it.
It looks 50-50 to me. It looks like it can be pretty bad.
50-50 to me. I'm still going to see it, and I'm still going to love every minute of it.
When I mean 50-50, I don't mean the Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No, 50-50 to me is To Roam with Love. I heard that it's not that great.
Well, it also, Woody's in it, so, how I feel about that.
He always brings
it down a notch.
That takes a mediocre Woody script into the, the stratosphere of greatness.
I'm pretty sure it drops it down a notch.
Ted looks interesting.
I do not know much about Ted at all. I've seen posters, and that's about it.
And I really actually do. You got to be in the mood for Take This Waltz, I guess. Got Michelle Williams downer. Mm. But I
still haven't seen Blue Valentine just because I'm not in that movie.
So yeah, I think like we're going
There's
from like
tons.
This week we didn't even watch a movie this week. So yeah, next week we're gonna really catch up. It seems, man, it's gonna be a big week.
Let's just spend a day in the movie theater.
I mean, I know they're two different markets, but Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter shouldn't have came out the same week as Brave. I don't think.
Yes, two very different audiences.
Yeah, but I mean, like, fathers are going to be taking their kids to Brave. The fathers want
fathers,
to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire.
Let's set the record straight. Fathers aren't going to movies. Just telling you that. They're only seeing Disney movies.
If you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to view the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So, as always, my name is Joshua Lute.
And this is Penny Lamb.
Have a great 2 weeks. Penny, as always, it's great to be back reviewing movies. I hope next show will have many, many, many more movies to review. I feel like I'm letting our listeners out. I'm letting myself down, Penny.
I'm letting myself down.
And happy...
You're forcing me to do this.
Happy movie watching. Yo, just waking up in the morning in the be well. Quite honest with you, I ain't really sleep well. You ever feel like your train of thought's been derailed? That's when you press on, lean in. Half the population just waiting to see me fail. Yeah, right, you better off trying to freeze hell. Some of us do it for the females, and others do it for the retail. What I do it for the kids, life through the tower in on. Every time you fall, it's only making your chin strong. And I'll be in your corner like Mick, baby, till the end of when you hear a song from that big lady. Until the referee rings the bell. Until both your eyes start to swell. Until the crowd goes home. What we gon' do, y'all? Loserville, nothing town. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my ass. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs, for you to recognize you really ain't got it bad. Until the referee rings the bell. Until both your eyes start to swell. Until the crowd goes home. What we gonna do, y'all?
And when your bones can't take no more, just remember what you're here for. Cause I know I'ma do.